Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
My name is Sean Trevino. Been at Gut Church 20 years, been on staff full-time for 15. Did a lot of years youth ministry, did quite a few years of the internship. But now, my wife and I get to work together and oversee groups. How many of you guys are married? If you're married, raise your hand real quick. Perfect. How many of you guys are engaged? Any engaged couples? Just get for the engaged, okay? Okay, all right, okay, I like it, okay. We have a thing starting Monday nights called Marriage on the Rock. If you go to gutschurch.com/groups, you need to sign up for Marriage on the Rock. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. You're going to have live teaching, you're going to have videos, you're going to have groups. Now listen, these groups are not like come tell your problems. These groups are what we got out of the book, what we got out of the video, what we got out of the teaching. This isn't like, let me tell you how bad my spouse is. That is not this kind of program, right? This is just to learn, to grow, to see how God wants to do marriages. I had a couple come up to the booth, and I'm like, hey, have you guys signed up? And he's like, man, we've done a bunch of these. And his wife goes, well, you've got a bunch of oil changes in your truck. You think you're done getting oil changes? And he goes, I guess we're signing up. And next week he bought a book and they got signed up. So some of you guys need oil changes in your marriage. So make sure that you get that done tonight. So definitely it's an honor to be up here. Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy, they're amazing, amazing. They're doing ministry out in the Northwest, which is where I'm originally from. So very excited. But I'm going to pray and we're going to get started. Father, we love you so much, God. We thank you for this evening that we have together. As family, God, to learn, to grow. Father, I pray that you would lead us, you would direct us over the next few minutes, God, that our hearts are open, good soil, God, ready to receive your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Okay, so you guys are going to get to like a little insight of how I like to read the Bible. So just so you're going to see where I come from when I do this, I normally start New King James Version, New Living Translation. Love it. I'm a fan. Those are my go-tos, right? I used to read a translation that is not spoken of anymore before I got to this church, but if you've been here long enough, you know what translation I'm talking about. And Pastor Bill, when I got here, had us throw those in the aisle. So I don't do that translation anymore. I do New King James Version and New Living Translation. Occasionally, if I read something good and I want to read more on it, I'll go to the Passion Translation and then sometimes to the Message. So those are going to be, but the way I read is there's always lines that stick out to me, right? I read a passage and I'm like, why did that stick out to me? Right, I'll read a chapter, and I want to go back to this. So what tonight is what I did is if you ever hear me speak, it's going to be a lot of Bible, right? Like for me, you don't want my opinion. We want to know what God's Word says. So what I do is I read, and then I take portions of the Scripture out, and I focus on those things. Okay, there's a reason, God, that's sticking out to me. So what you're going to see is my points are literally just from the verse we just read. And then that's how I like to do it. And maybe you like to do it differently. Maybe you're like Pastor AJ and you're going to study the history and the roots and where the fruit came from. That's not me, okay? I'm going to read it. How can I apply it to my life and what stuck out to me? I always say keep it simple. Keep it simple. God did not. He said it's easy enough for a child to get it, right? And sometimes I feel like I'm, okay, that's me. God, let me go back to the basics. What is it that you want to teach me? God, what is it that you want to show me? God, what is it that you have for me? Right, I'm not just reading the Bible for fun. I'm not just reading it because somebody told me. I'm reading it because it's life. Right, the Bible says it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We're not going to trip. When you got a lamp to your feet, you know what's in front of you. You got a light in your path. You know the direction you're going. That's what God's Word is. Man, you ever feel lost? You're not spending the time in God's Word that you need to because He's going to lead you. Man, all we got to do is make sure our heart's right, and then we're getting into this Word. Okay, Matthew 6:33. Says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. My message title tonight is God's way of doing things. The first time I heard Pastor Bill read that scripture, he said the kingdom of God is God's way of doing things. Kingdom of God equals God's way of doing things. And I remember when I read that, and I thought, I want to do things God's way. I think so often we get into these habits where we do things our way, whether it's tradition, whether that's how our parents did it, whether that's how we saw somebody else do it, whatever the reason, we have our reasons why we like to do things a certain way. I want to get in the habit of doing things God's way. Right? Like, does that make sense? Like, I don't want to just go about life doing things the way that I want to do them. That's not what I signed up for. I want the greatest life imaginable, which is what God promised us. But it comes from doing things His way. Man, I remind people all the time, when you made Jesus the Lord of your life, that word Lord can also be translated boss. You are making Jesus the boss of your life. You're saying, I'm not living my way anymore. I'm going to live the way you designed me to live. Right? He created us. He knows what makes us tick. He knows what the best life imaginable is for us, and he shows us through his word. Man, that's why we read. That's why we read, because he's going to show us things that maybe we wouldn't see just going through our regular day lives. And he's also going to lead us when we hit stuff. Man, when stuff hits our lives, God's got an answer. God's got an answer. But too often we're trying to figure it out by reading the latest blog, or I'm going to go talk to my friend about it, or I'm going to go complain to my neighbor about it, and we don't even give attention to God's word. That has to be the first place we go. That's got to be how we do it. All right, Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 20. This is New Living Translation. I read fast. So you got, but listen, I took Pastor Bill and Sandy to the airport. He said, I need you to do two things. I said, yes, sir. He said, be funny. You already laughed once. I'm good, right? And second, he said, talk fast. And I was like, that's my gift, talking fast. So read along on the screen or look, write it down and look it up later. But I'm going to roll and then I'll come back to stuff. So Galatians 5, 16 through 26, New Living Translation. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual morality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wall parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us also follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or to provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So here's what I highlighted, right? I read all that, and we're going to learn God's way of doing things, right? In that, he said, listen, when you're living by your sinful nature, these things are going to happen, right? If there's some like, I am messing with some of that stuff, okay? So you got to realize, okay, I'm not living life according to the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. When these things are flowing out of your life, you're like, okay, man, I'm getting on the right track, right? There's fruit, there's evidence when you're living for God. It's not just like, no, I have my own secret relationship and you would never know. That's not how it works with God. When you are living for God and you've given him your life and you're being led by the Holy Spirit, it says you're going to produce this kind of fruit in your life. This is what's going to be evident. So here's what I highlighted. Here's what stuck out to me. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. There's a battle. It's a fight. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. Your sinful nature and the Spirit of God. Right? And I always tell everybody this, and I worked with youth for a long time. But if you ever watched cartoons back in the day, there's always like a devil and an angel. Right? Like it's the clearest picture I've ever seen, right? That devil's trying to get you to do something you know you shouldn't be doing, and that angel's trying to remind you the good thing to do. That's the battle that I see so often. And you see people, and sometimes from afar, you can see so clearly when people give in. And you just think, gosh, you knew what to do. It wasn't that you didn't know. It's that you chose to go in the other direction. The second thing that stuck out to me is when you follow desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. If you're wondering, man, how am I stuck in this? It's at some point you decided, okay, I'm not going to be led by the Spirit, and I'm going to go ahead and let my sinful nature, whether it was whatever decision you made, you just allowed that to have control over your life instead of being led by the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God produces certain things in our life. Man, when those things are being produced, it's like, okay, that's good. I'm doing things God's way. And then the last one was, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. When we do things God's way, the Holy Spirit is producing things in our lives. And can I just tell you, when I read those things, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, people are drawn to that. People that we're trying to reach are drawing to people, man, that have joy, that have peace. The world is trying to find peace right now. How do I find peace? Where is this peace at? We have the answer. It's literally just by living for God, there's fruit of it that's evident in our lives, right? So knowing that, okay, I have choices. There's a battle. What am I choosing? What am I allowing to win in my life? Like, the thought of the devil ever winning my life just makes me mad. I'm slightly competitive. If you've met my kids, they're the same way. It's sometimes, I'm sure, is annoying, but I like winning. There's just something about that. And it's in dumb things sometimes. You don't even need to know. But like the other day, my daughter, I'm trying to teach them just hard work. Go hard. Best effort. Like, I think that's in our relationship with God, am I giving best effort? Man, am I doing everything I know I should be doing? Right? When these doors are open, am I here? Am I reading my Bible? Am I praying? So the other day, she has two scrimmages. They win 1-0 both scrimmages. She gets off the field and I'm like, I felt like you didn't give your best effort. And she's like, are you serious? And I'm like, yeah. Like, I've watched you play 1,000 times and I could tell you just weren't giving your best effort. She goes, we won 1-0 twice and I scored both those goals. So I didn't ask you if you scored goals. I said you didn't give your best effort. And she just looked at me. She goes, yeah, I'm kind of tired. We worked out this morning. And I was like, okay, great. As long as you realize, because she was thinking, but I scored and we won. I don't care. Like, yes, I care. I want to win. I want to score goals. But I care more about best effort, because with best effort, those things will come. That stuff will happen. But when you're on the field, when you're playing, give your best effort. Man, I feel like that in our relationship with God. I see people giving their best effort in business. I see people giving their best effort in parenting, which is amazing, and in their marriage, which is amazing. But are you giving your best effort in your relationship with God? Man, have you looked at it that way? Man, am I seeking? Am I knocking? Am I asking? Right? Because if you knock, the door's going to be open. If you seek, you're going to find. If you ask, you will receive. Okay. That was free. That wasn't even in my notes. Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 31. Once again, I'm going to read fast. Hang with me the best you can. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. We did this outreach at One Oakville downtown. It was amazing. Joyce Meyer came. I remember we were sitting in a staff meeting, literally right in here, and somebody said, what if we did an event at One Oak and Joyce Meyer came and we gave out 1,000 bikes? And I was like, yeah, go ahead and write it down. Like, that's going to happen. And then literally 3 months later, I'm sitting at One Oak. We're giving away 1,000 bikes and Joyce Meyer was speaking. I was like, we should write more things down. This really works. Like, this is good. And we're there and I had the honor of, had to help get donations of shoes. At the time, we didn't have a DC and we're just getting a ton of, or we did have a DC, but we didn't have barefoot. So we didn't have very many shoes. And I'm calling all these different places, getting people to donate. We had like 2,000 pairs of kids' shoes. And I was just pumped. I'm like, we're about to make some kids' days. New shoes. I mean, like good stuff. And you're thinking they're going to come up and just thank you, and you're the best, and thank you for getting these shoes. And I can't believe you go through all that effort. And I didn't get any of that. My brother-in-law literally looked at me, and he's like, did you think they'd be more thankful? And I was like, I did. I thought people would be a little more thankful. And then we didn't have grown-up shoes, so we heard about that. I had to call security once. I was like, this person's going to hurt me because we only had shoes for the kids. But I remember thinking, it doesn't matter. We did what we were called to do. And that's all we have to do is do what we're called to. It says literally he's compassionate to the unthankful and the wicked. We have to be. It's hard. That what he just said in there is not easy. Love those who love you. Sinners can do that. Right? Pay to those who can repay you. Sinners can do that. But then he goes on to say, do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. You will truly be acting as children of the Most High God. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Hits me every time. How do I treat the people who mistreat me? How do I treat people that I know aren't going to be thankful for what I'm about to do? I don't act any differently. I treat others how I'd want to be treated, because that's exactly how it started. That verse started, do to others as you would like them to do to you. If I was in need, would I want somebody to help me? Yeah. So if I have the opportunity, I need to do so. Whether they thank me or not. I mean, that day taught me a lot. We helped a lot of people that day. And I realized sometimes people just aren't thankful. But that doesn't mean we missed what we were supposed to be doing. There were some thankful people. Right? Little kids were leaving in bikes. It was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. I mean, it was just, the place was packed, and Joyce Meyer gave out a message, and people got their lives right with God, and I just thought, I can't let this ruin what God did today. Why should you get credit for that? When it said that, it hit me. Loving those who love you, that's easy. It's actually, they treat you good, they're nice to you, they have an encouraging word. When you ask them to serve, they show up. I mean, that's like, be nice to those people. It's like, anybody can do that. The sinners can do that. Why should you get credit for that? As Christians, we're called to do that to people who hate us and aren't thankful and mistreat us. It's hard to win an argument that way, just so you know. I love winning arguments. Man, I'm a fan of winning arguments. Ask my wife. Man, I'm pretty good at it. I enjoy it. But it's not worth it. I got to love them. I got to help them. I got to serve them. Even if they don't believe like me. Even if they don't vote like me. Even if they don't look like me, I have to love them. I have to serve them. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. You must be compassionate. There's an example, right? We have a Father in heaven who's compassionate. He says, the Word says, you must be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. He's saying, I set an example. I sent my Son, and look at what he did while he was on this earth. Man, when he fed people, he would say he had compassion on the crowd. Right? These people have been here all day. He had compassion. He had compassion on them. When he healed people, he had compassion on them. Man, we have to be a compassionate people. If we're going to reach our city, if we're going to change people's lives, we have to be compassionate. It's just us doing things God's way. God's way is, man, we love the unlovely. We love them even when they don't thank us. That's God's way of doing things. If we love those who love us, even sinners can do that. The last one is, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Because we love that pressed down, shaking together, and running over. I like saying it. It's like a good rap song, right? Like pressed down. Okay, but we could say that all day. But then after it says, the amount you give will determine the amount you give back. I remember Elder Houston in the Second Mile class a long time ago talked about there was an amount of money he wanted to make. He said they began tithing towards that amount. And I was like, but tithing's 10%. Like, you just do 10% of what you make. That makes sense to me. You're like opening up a new realm in my head that I didn't even know existed. You're telling me that if I want to make a certain amount, and he said that's what we did and it worked. And I was just like, that's genius. I'd never heard anything like that. But then you read a verse like this and it's like, oh yeah, it's in the Word. He didn't just make it up. In the Word, it says, look, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. It's hard. Man, tithing is the greatest decision you can make in your marriage, in your personal life. It's the greatest decision you can make. I want to remind you guys, there's something about that. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Okay, I got a few more to go through. Colossians 3:22 through 23 says this. We're doing things God's way, God's kingdom. Let every employee listen well. This is the Passion Translation. And follow the instruction of their employer. Not just when their employers are watching and not in pretense, but faithful in all things, for we are to live our lives with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. Put your heart and soul into every activity you do, as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. This is the one. This is the one that when you're at work and there's an unbeliever, they should be able to see the way you work and see the way you treat others and think, what is it about them? What is it about them? Before I came to work at the church, when I was in college, I waited tables at a restaurant called Chili's. It's amazing. I enjoyed it. It was the ability to serve people. And I remember just thinking, okay, like there's going to be people that I get to minister to. And I'm telling you, there were times where I thought I got in trouble for doing something. And man, I'm 19, I'm 20, and managers are pulling me back to their office. And I'm thinking, oh man, did I miss something? Did a table complain about me? And it'd be because I needed prayer over something. I didn't go around telling everybody, like, I invited people to church, but I didn't go around being like, hey, I'll pray for you if you need it. But man, when they went through something, they'd come and say, hey, man, can you pray for me? And I would literally, no matter what, I would stop what I was doing. If I was filling up drinks, I would stop. I'd say, let's pray now. And real quickly, I'd pray for them. I didn't want to miss the opportunity. I didn't want to wait until one of us got cut and it was late. And then, yeah, I'm telling you, whether they were having a bad night, whether something happened in their family. And I'm telling you, it all became, and even in that, when another table needed help, any of you that ever waited tables, when you're full of tables, you're like, I'm busy. But when somebody asked for help, I helped. When somebody asked for help, I helped. And I'm telling you, my stuff always got done. There's something about this. When you do things God's way, he backs your play. He backs your play every time. Here's what stood out to me in Colossians 3, when we're doing things God's way. Not just when their employees are watching. That one gets you. Like, right? Not if you played sports, not just when coach is watching. Like, man, I'm gonna do these up-downs real fast when coach is watching. But if coach turns, I'm gonna lag a few. Right? Like, I always think about that in sports. I was that kid. If coach is watching, I'm an all-star. If coach isn't watching, I should be on the B team. Right? Like, I mean, that's how I did it. And then you read this and you're like, that's not what it's about. It's not just when the boss is watching. It's not just when you think, man, I might get the promotion. That's not what it's about. Man, it's about when you do things God's way, he's watching. I don't mean that like when I tell my kids that, I'm like, I don't mean that in a fearful way. Like, God's watching. I don't mean it like scary. But I want them to know, you may fool me, but you're not fooling God. You may get one past me, you're not getting one past God. And at the end of the day, that's who we're truly serving. That's who we want to please. That's who we want to honor, is God. Right? And the Bible says, do it as he's watching. And then it says, but faithful in all things. I don't know why that stuck out to me. Faithful in all things. Faithful in all things. Not some, not occasionally, man, I'm faithful. If I give my word, I'm faithful to it. Man, we all know people who give their word and it's 50-50. I hope they show up. But when you give your word, man, I'm going to be there. You're faithful. Put your heart and soul into, this is why I love the Passion Translation, put your heart and soul into every activity you do as though you are doing it for the Lord himself and not merely for others. We get caught doing things for people, it's only going to get us so far. Man, we do things that we're doing it under the Lord, another level. That promotion you're seeking is going to be greater than you imagine because you're not doing, the Bible says promotion comes from above. Right? I always say we're in a different realm, we're in a different world. Like, right? We're doing things God's way, his kingdom, it changes everything. Right? The way that the world does it is they got to knock each other down and climb up on each other. We don't do it in the kingdom like that. We get to the top by serving. We get to the top by serving. Please hear that. The days of bashing people, the days of making them look bad so you can look good have to be over. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not his way of doing it. His way of doing it is completely different. You get to the top by serving. The Bible literally says the greatest among us will be a servant and a servant to all. That's the greatest. You want to win in the kingdom of God? Serve others. Don't bash them. Don't put them down. Don't make them look bad so you look good. It's different in the kingdom. And the benefits are better. The promotion is better. Man, every time. How can we live like this? Man, we talk about this. How can we live like this? You're saying, man, I see areas of my life where I'm not living like you're talking about. I see areas of our life where, I'm not doing it God's way. I'm doing it the way I saw my dad do it. I'm doing it the way I saw my boss do it. I'm doing it the way that I think will work best for me. God laid it out for us. It's not a guessing game anymore. His word, it leads us. It's life. If you're not spending time in God's word, yes, you'll be a little confused and lost. You can show up to church as much as you want and try to live off what you get twice a week. It's going to be hard. You have to get into it yourself. You got to begin to read God's word and let it lead you and let it guide you. There's only so much you can get in 30 minutes on Sunday and 30 minutes. That's it. You have to get into it. You have to begin to read it. You have to take what we said and what we read and you go home and read it again. And you go home and underline what sticks out to you. And then ponder, why is that sticking out to me, God? And let him speak to you. Man, hear him out. There may be an area of your life that's been holding you back, and God doesn't want to hold you back in any area of your life. He wants to clip strings. If something's holding you back, he's going to show you. You just take that step. He keeps promoting you and getting you more. Okay, the way we live like this, we got to keep our heart right. Pastor Bill talked about this the other day, the parable of the sower. You know, I see this so often when our heart gets bad, it doesn't matter if good or bad's happening in our life when our heart's not good. It affects every area of your life. Proverbs 4:23 literally says, you know, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. So it says, above all else, guard your heart. Take care of this. When things don't go your way, you got to instantly say, okay, God, I'm good. I trust you. I forgive them because they did me wrong. Wrong. But I forgive them, God. This is me forgiving them because they did me wrong. You saw it. You were there. But I forgive them. I'm doing things your way, God. I'm turning to you because you said guard my heart. I'm guarding my heart, right? Because out of it spring the issues of life. Because then you take it home and it affects your marriage. You take it home and it affects your kids because of something that happened here and you didn't guard your heart. So now it's not just affecting that place. Now it's affecting this place and this place. That's not fair to your kids. That's not fair to your spouse that you didn't guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Out of it flow the issues of life. Out of it spring the issues of life. Okay, Matthew chapter 13, this is out of the Message. It says, parable of the sower explained, Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Study the story of the farmer planting seed. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in, it just remains on the surface. And so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of the person's heart. This is the seed the farmer scatters on the road. The seed cast in the gravel, this is the person who hears and instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there is no soil of character, so when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there's nothing to show for it. The seed cast in the weeds is the person who hears the kingdom news, but weeds of worry and illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangle what was heard, and nothing comes of it. The seed cast on good earth is the person who hears and takes in the news and then produces a harvest beyond his wildest dreams. That's who we want to be. Right? Like, I almost sometimes forget about the first three soils. I want to be the one who produces that fruit that's beyond my wildest dreams. That's who I want to be. That's the life I want to live. Right? So what do I have to do? I got to make sure I have good soil. I got to make sure when pastors preach, when I'm reading the word, I got to make sure my heart's in a good place to receive it. Because his word is seed. And it'll always produce fruit in your life. That's what it's intended to do. Produce fruit in your life. That's it. That's why he gave it to us. To produce fruit in our life. But we have to have good soil. Our heart has to be good soil. Our heart has to be ready. Man says, if you go in and you pray and you realize someone's done wrong against you, you haven't forgiven them. It says, forgive them. Forgive them, then come back and pray. Right? Like, get it right. Get your heart good. Get your heart in a place to receive. This word can change your lives. This word can get you whatever you've been looking for. Right? It produces a harvest beyond your wildest dreams. That's what this word does. But you got to have the right heart. Too often people come with the wrong heart. They're mad at the world. They're mad at their job. They're mad at their spouse. They're mad at their circumstance. They thought they'd be farther along. They thought it would go faster than it did. Whatever it is, but our heart's not right. You get your heart right, oh my gosh. And it's not hard. God, he sent Jesus to be like, okay, I forgive him. And I love what Pastor Bill says. You may have to say that 50 times, but every time it pops up in your head, I forgive him. I forgive him. Because I just tell you, that messes with people more than anything. We can't have unforgiveness in our heart. We cannot. It doesn't mean you give that person the same place in your life. As a matter of fact, sometimes you got to forgive them and make sure they don't get close enough to do that again. But you have to forgive. You have to forgive. Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. I'll read it again. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It's so... When I read that, it's so intentional. Give attention to my words. Like when you're reading the Bible, give it attention. Right? Don't read it and kind of be thinking about other things or checking your phone. Give it attention. Incline your ear. Man, lean your ear in when you're hearing the word of God. Man, almost like on the edge of your seat. Don't let it depart from your eyes. Man, keep it in front of you and keep it in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That translation is keep your heart with all diligence. It's going to take work to keep your heart right. You don't just show up and your heart's right. It says you got to keep your heart with all diligence. You got to put a little work into it. Right? But it's worth it. It's worth it. It affects every area of your life. You want to be a great dad? Check your heart. You want to be a great spouse? Check your heart. Make sure your heart's good. That's the soil of your heart. When you come here, seeds being thrown out like crazy. It's what made me fall in love with this church. Pastor Bill is passionate about God's promises. He's passionate about God's word. There's always good seed being thrown out here on Wednesdays and Sundays. Man, elders will get up. Different people will get up to speak. And it's like, man, this is seed. Is your heart ready to receive it? If you leave here and you feel like, man, I felt like I've been the same for 2 years, can I just tell you, it's your heart. It's your heart. The word's being preached, right? It's going out. But if your heart's not ready to receive it, man, then you become one of the other three soils. Out of it spring the issues of life. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Can I just tell you, it all comes down to loving God and loving people. Jesus couldn't even separate it when he was asked the greatest commandment. He wasn't asked, "Hey, what's the top two?" He was asked, "What's the greatest?" A lawyer, a very smart man, a person that's too successful. Man, they're like, "Hey, you go ask him. I think you can get him with this question. See if you can just like get him to answer so everybody can know he's not God." And Jesus answers it plainly. Love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. But he tags number two on there. I always just think, why? It's that important. We are not just here to get our lives right. We are here to help other people get in that same position. I was a student at ORU and Pastor Bill said this and it affected me. He said, if you look at sinners or people that are living wrong for God, if you just look at them like those people, you'll never reach them. If you look at them like your family that's locked up, you're going to do everything you can to get them out. Changed my perspective crazy. That's my family. Those are people that are in my family that are stuck. I got to find a way to get them out. It's just a different, I mean, I'm telling you, it switched something in my mind. Because when I got saved, I'm like, stay away from bad people. Stay away from bad people. Like, if you're going to live for God, you got to be super careful. Right? I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I grew up in a family that was decently messed up. Decently. Like, there's worse, but we weren't great, you know? Like, I mean, so we're right. So I was like, man, like, they're coming for me, right? Like, I got to stay away from bad people, which was good for a season. And then God got me good, and they surround me with the right people. And then we go as a team to help other people. That's his intention. That's why it's love God and love people. That's why he didn't stop at number one. He had silenced the Sadducees. I love it. When Jesus, I mean, that's Jesus. He shut them down. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind." I could read that a million times. He's saying love God with everything. With everything. Right? Your soul, your mind, will, your emotions, your strength, everything. Every bit of who you are has to love God. And you have to love your neighbor as yourself. And I read that two ways sometimes. I think sometimes we have a hard time loving ourselves. We got to find a way to love ourselves. Because if we don't love ourselves, it's going to be hard for us to love our neighbor. That's for somebody in here. Whatever you're going through, man, you got to find a way to make sure that you, man, you're loving yourself and you can show that love to other people. And the last part is on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 is the last verse, Passion Translation. "And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family." Just so you guys know, I read this to my wife. She goes, "Hey, that's kind of long." And I'm like, it's the Bible. It's okay. So if I'm reading and you're like, this is kind of long, you can hang out with Tara later. So Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25, the Passion Translation. But it's really good. "And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus, and he welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and without hesitation. For he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. Discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them toward acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. I read it and I was like, this is it. Man, he set us free. He's called us to gather. He's called us to encourage each other on to good works. You come in here and you hear what people are doing in their lives, and you're thinking, okay, I heard Ben's testimony. I heard Chris Hart's testimony. I hear what he's doing. I hear what Joel's doing. I hear all this stuff that's happening, and it's like, okay, God has more for us. But if we're not meeting together, we miss out on that. He says, don't forsake the assembling. Don't forget to get together. I love get-togethers. I'm a fan. But when we're here and we're worshiping together, nothing more powerful to me. Nothing. Man, something happened in the revival, and I'm telling you, Big O has hit a new level. I love being in here. Something has shifted in him. And I'm telling you, we get to just be a part of it. Just showing up. We don't pay to get in here. And nobody showing you, man, we get to come in here and worship God together. Here's what stood out to me in that verse. Boldly and without hesitation. That's how we have to come to God. If you hesitate, then you don't know him. He freely is going to receive you. He so badly wants to forgive you. So I think sometimes we're like the prodigal son. And it's like, God, I've wasted all the stuff you gave me. Right? The prodigal son, he leaves. He asks his dad for half his inheritance. He goes. He wastes all of his money. He's got nothing left. Didn't have any friends. He's literally eating pig's food. And he's thinking, my dad's servants eat better than this. I'm just going to go home, and I'm just going to kind of bow down to my dad, and he's going to at least let me eat the servant's food. And I think that's how we picture God. We think God knows how much I've messed up. Man, I've blown it for so long. Even when he came back, I messed up. And when you come in, and you come in boldly, because you know he's going to treat you like the prodigal son was treated. As soon as that prodigal son came over the hill, the dad went running out to him, put a robe on him, put a ring on him, said, we are throwing a party. My son who was lost is now found. That's God. If you're wondering how God is, that's the picture of God. So come boldly. Man, come boldly. He's not thinking, you wasted my stuff. You wasted my gifts. You wasted my blessings. Man, you've messed up too much. He's not thinking like that. He's running after you the moment you pop your head up over the hill. The moment you decide to come boldly and without hesitation. He's come to give us free and fresh access to him. That's what Jesus did. Free and fresh access. We have to be fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. He paid the price of his son to be close to us. He paid a heavy price to know us. To know us. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. Man, I don't feel like that. Can you tell your feelings to take a hike? Tell your feelings they don't get to decide what God's word says. That's what I live by. Some of you let your feelings run you way too long. Be done with that. I don't feel clean. You are clean. Why? That's what his word says. That's what we live by. That's what walking by faith and not by sight is. I live according to this, God's word, not according to how I feel or what I've seen, according to his word. God always keeps his promises. God always keeps it. I read that. I bolded it. I underlined it. I highlighted it. That God always keeps his promises. There's one thing I've learned here, man, is that we take a stand for God's promises. The world doesn't get to dictate God's promises. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. This couldn't be more timely for what our country is going through right now. Isolation is very hard on people. It is very hard on people. In fact, we should come together even more frequently. So you come to church and you hear about the second mile on Thursdays and you hear about marriage rock, but you're like, man, I already come twice a week. Or man, I've given up my Wednesday nights. What more do you want? I'm telling you, the more you get in here, the more you learn, the greater you'll soar. That's what was great about revival. I felt like we didn't have a choice. I know some of you did, but it felt like we didn't have a choice. We didn't want to miss what God had for us. It's the same way when you hear about the second mile. It's the same way when you hear about marriage on the rock. There's something God has for you. There's something. You just got to make it a priority to be in here, man, when these doors are open. We got to keep our heart in a good place.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.